You're listening to The Andrew Miller Show. This episode, we're talking with Hunter Crow, Green Party candidate running for Texas Railroad Commissioner. According to rrc.texas.gov, the Railroad Commission of Texas is the state's oldest regulatory agency. It was established in 1891 under a constitutional and legislative mandate to prevent discrimination in railroad charges and establish reasonable tariffs. The Railroad Commission of Texas no longer has any jurisdiction or authority over railroads in Texas, a duty which was transferred to other agencies, with the last of the rail functions transferred to the Texas Department of Transportation in 2005. Nowadays, it has primary regulatory jurisdiction over the oil and natural gas industry, pipeline transporters, natural gas and hazardous liquid pipeline industry, natural gas utilities, the LP gas industry, and coal and uranium surface mining operations. The commission also has regulatory and enforcement responsibilities under federal law, including the Surface Coal Mining Control and Reclamation Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, Pipeline Safety Acts, Resource Conservation Recovery Act, and Clean Water Act. As for Hunter Crow, he's been a member of the Green Party since 2015, currently the state party chair of the Texas Green Party and the county party chair of the Tarrant County Green Party. Hunter is also commissioned by the state of Texas as a notary public, so he's been serving his community in that capacity. Let's hear what he has to say.
This meeting is being recorded.
Hello, Hunter Crow. Thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right. Glad to hear that. So I see that there are three railroad commissioners. It's a six-year term, and the elections are staggered. So there'll be like one running one election every 2 years for this position. And yet, even though it's still called Texas Railroad Commissioner, I've read that ever since 2005, they haven't had anything to do with the railroad. So is that common knowledge among the Texas electorate, or are a lot of people still confused or oblivious to that?
Well, for starters, it's true that the Texas Railroad Commission used to regulate railroads, but the position has evolved since the 1800s. And yes, it's common knowledge that they don't regulate railroads anymore, although not that many people really pay attention to what the commission actually does, which is the regulation of oil, gas, and surface coal and uranium mining and pipeline safety, etc. Initially, the commission was formed all the way back in 1891 by the administration of, I believe his name was Governor Jim Hogg. It's currently the state's one of the state's oldest agencies at the moment. I believe after I'm trying to read here from the 1930s to the 1960s, it largely set the world's oil prices, displaced by the Organization of Petroleum Export Countries after 1973 and 1984. The federal government took over transportation regulations for railroads, trucking, and buses, but the Railroad Commission kept its name. It now focuses entirely on oil, gas mining, propane, and pipeline, setting allocations for production. It has the commission itself has an interesting history with it.
Oh, sure.
Obviously, I won't be able to quote the entire thing today, but
you know, I've read up on it, and yeah, it does have quite a long, interesting history, and it's a very, very, very significant agency there involved, especially what Texas is known for with oil, gas.
Yeah.
And also, you know, that stood out as well, because I understand your party, Green Party, is all about renewable energy, trying to shift away from that kind of source of energy and go more renewable and such. Was that one of the motivating factors for you to want to get on this commission?
Well, yes, like other Green candidates who ran for Railroad Commission, we did want to push for environmental reform, and whoever gets elected to the Railroad Commission this year will actually have a deep impact on environmental policy in the state. For example, as you probably heard about a year ago, there was the Texas power grid failure.
Yeah, that was big news.
Yes, and as you probably know, the state of Texas really isn't equipped to deal with that sort of energy crisis. At least not like most states in the North are.
Oh, yes, and even, you know, refineries are affected by that as well. And we're producing like a significant amount less as well, which is another, you know, one of many contributing factors to the whole gas prices situation going on.
And there are like multiple ways of harnessing energy, such as that of renewable, but nobody's really interested in making such investments. For years, we had solar technology. It's even possible to create energy with heat, which I believe it's called geothermal energy. Currently, the state of Hawaii has been experimenting with their volcanoes, I believe, in the attempt to tap into the volcanoes as a power source, so to speak, and harness energy that way. But
nice.
There's all sorts of ways that we could harness energy, but to my dismay, not all of them has been properly experimented with. Another common solution is that a lot of people in Europe have also been experimenting with harnessing energy from the sea, such as tidal technology. That is another way they create electricity. So, a lot of what the Green Party's doing is we not only support utilizing renewable energy, but we also support utilizing everything that the environment provides. The non-toxic methods, of course.
Oh, definitely. And I also understand the commission does have regulatory and enforcement responsibilities under federal law, including the Surface Coal Mining Control and Reclamation Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, Pipeline Safety Acts, Resource Con- Conservation Recovery Act and Clean Water Act. So, yeah, these sounds like something that would be a, you know, right up everyone's alley, you know, who's on board with your party's platform and such. Now, as far as that goes, do you think the current commissioners are doing a good job in that realm?
Well, the last time I checked, the most of the commissioners are all Republican cabinets. I'm trying to remember which that one of the commissioners' name is. I think his name was Jim Bright. He's another commissioner on the commission.
He's supposedly
a climate change denier.
Oh, man.
And like most of the Republican incumbents, they deny environmental policy to some extent. I'm pretty sure we'll get into this in a few minutes, but one of the reprimands of hydraulic fracking is it can sometimes trigger a very small earthquake, which has occasionally happened when they start mining.
Has that been happening? I know that a few years ago, you mentioned about how fracking does cause small seismic activity, like small earthquakes. I know that I was reading about that happening a lot in Oklahoma a few years ago. Yeah. You know, no one there ever experienced anything like it there until the fracking took place. Now, was there a lot of that happening in Texas as well?
Well, I'm not fortunate, most of the earthquakes that occurred in Texas, most of them were too small to cause any serious damage. I do know a few years ago there might have been one in Dallas, but I don't recall there ain't been any casualties, but nonetheless, however, it's still a dangerous it's actually very dangerous to even bother messing with those kind of drills.
Oh, yeah.
Because if one of the commission's job is to not only ensure the safety of the workers or whatever, but they also have to make sure that the machines are operated properly. And if one screw up is all it would take for something disastrous to happen.
Oh, sure. And I know you mentioned that one commissioner, he says seems to be like a climate change denier. What about the other two? Are they as bad in that realm, or is that unknown?
Well, I do know that the particular commissioner I'm running against is, I think his name is Wayne Christen. I think he's another climate change denier, I think, but if I'm not mistaken, a few years ago we actually did have a green running for the seat I am now. I think her name was Martina Salas. He ran for the seat 6 years ago. And I think he did promote a bunch of anti-environmental policies. I think a few years ago or whatever, he did support the expansion of the Keystone Pipeline, which recently got killed.
Yeah. And And when I was talking with Alfred Mollison the other day, land commissioner candidate, you know, in the event that if the sea levels do rise, well, guess what's located along the Gulf? Guess what's located along the coasts? Oil refineries. So, I mean, people could argue about, you know, what's causing this. They could argue about, you know, what should we do or not do about it. But, and that's where the debate really should be, not whether or not it's something that exists. And, you know, it's just going to bite them in the rear. If, you know, the denying of it's going to bite them in the rear, because it's going to be bad for their business as well, if they want to keep it going. You know, so it affects everybody one way or another. And yeah, it's very important to think, all right, here's what's really happening, whether we like it or not, and what can we do about it? You know, at least, you know, start with that. And then, you know, when it comes to, you know, what can we do to keep it from happening, or what's really causing it? You know, again, there's probably always going to be some type of arguments about that going on there, but at least acknowledge that it's a real thing. And, you know, what can we do ahead of time to prevent the inevitable effects that are on the way?
Right. Well, for starters, for the last few 100 years, everyone was made aware of the environmental reprimands if we started using our technology towards hydraulic fracturing. A lot of people knew what this was going to do for many years. And there were like multiple proposals by the government to address this, but they because it would damage these people's profits, so to speak.
Wow. And also, of all, you know, different offices to run for, you know, what made you choose this particular one?
Well, for starters, when I originally announced my candidacy in 2022, it was actually for a different position. I was originally looking for a position on the Tarrant County Commissioner's Court, which is the county judge, to be precise.
All right.
It's not really a judicial position, but it's the closest example of it would be. It's kind of like a mayoral role, but over the entire county. We basically have it. The commissioner's court's basically comprised of the judge with four commissioners, kind of like legislators. I was fully prepared to pay the $1,250 filing fee.
All right.
But then they tell me that it got to the point, I'm going to say that the Green Party tickets actually had a very extremely difficult, had a hard time recruiting candidates for this cycle. Nobody wanted to run because of the epidemic. And the Green Party doesn't have a presence in many areas, so we have a very hard time in supporting candidates for any position. And initially I refused to, when it was suggested I run statewide, I initially refused because I will say it's when someone like Renzi for any sort of political office. It's always someone's lifetime journey for someone to end up becoming a governor or a senator or a congressman, etc. But for someone like me, that's kind of like a lofty and unrealistic goal. Like, it's much more easier to run for local office than it is for state and federal. Across the country, a good majority of our office holders have been elected locally.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And some of them even succeeded, just not in Texas. But one of the good factors that I have to decide is whether or not I am to raise the full amount, the full filing fee amount. And prior to me running for Railroad Commission, I was already campaigning for, like, Tarrant County Judge. I already had the $1,250 to pay the filing fee for that race, but because nobody announced their candidacy for statewide, eventually they did persuade me to run for something else, so I chose Railroad Commission. It's a really good down ballot race as far as state races go. One of the reasons why I chose to go against one Christian is because this is the particular election that got the Green Party to get back on the ballot a few years ago. Martinez Salas was the last Green to run against one Christian, and I believe she pulled like 3 point something in the 2016 Railroad Commission election. Originally, state law required Green Party candidates to pull at least 5% of the vote, but recently, like a year or two ago, the law was changed to reduce it from 5% all the way down to 2%. So because of Martinez Salas efforts, we were able to regain ballot access under the new law back in 2019.
Oh, wow. All right. No, it's good to regain that ballot access. That's good. And I know every state is different, but in Texas, in order to run for Green locally, or even what you're running for, Railroad Commissioner, does there have to be somebody running on in that party running on top of the ticket in order for anyone else to run in that party for any other office? Or does that not matter?
Well, in Texas, it's kind of interesting as far as like local office goes. A good majority of the local elections are nonpartisan, and we don't even get involved in that. But there are specific county positions that are partisan, like sheriff, constable, and tax assessor, collector, and also we had the judge's positions and the county commissioners and the district and county clerk, etc., which are all partisan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the way the new law works or whatever, well, for starters, not that many people in Texas ever runs on the green ballot access line, but whenever someone does, it's usually mostly for state and federal positions. Like, anyone can seek our party's nomination for Railroad Commission, I'm sorry, for state or local office, assuming if they're able to pay the fees and signatures to deal with that. We're currently in the middle of a lawsuit to get rid of that rule because prior to 2019, we weren't subject to the filing fee or signature rules. So basically, so any Texas resident is eligible to run up for our party's nomination. But the only difference is we don't participate in the primary, so the only way that someone can participate in the nominating process is strictly through our internal conventions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because is Texas a closed primary state?
It's open.
Oh, it's open. Okay, so for example, if there was a progressive candidate running in a Democratic primary, you'd be able to vote for them in that primary without having to be a registered Democrat?
Well, the way it works is that Texas is an open primary state. You can vote for any party you want, providing you don't switch parties. I think the affiliation lasts for a year. So if someone wanted to vote green, for instance, they would need to attend our precinct conventions or county conventions.
Oh, okay.
But they can't, once that occurs, they can't vote for another party for during that period. You can, of course, vote for whoever you want at the general, but...
Oh, yeah.
But whenever the primaries take place, you have to obviously stick with the
one party.
With the party you initially selected.
Yeah.
There are going to always be vacancies for specific positions. Like one of the before I became a Green, I was initially a Democrat, and one of the problems I've had with there was always shortages for the judicial position, so there's always going to be someone going in the polls for those.
Yeah.
I did want to bring up one more thing.
Yeah, go for it.
While it's true that you do have, while it's true that state and federal elections are partisan in Texas, but whenever a congressman dies, we have to follow a whole different slate of processes. For example, a candidate may... We can run a candidate in a special election for U.S. representative. However, we can't formally nominate that candidate. For example, in Texas, whenever elections are held, we tend to use our conventions or primaries to narrow down our slate of candidates to see who gets nominated. However, with the special elections for U.S. representative, you can't do that. So hypothetically, in a special election for U.S. rep, we can have 100. Assuming if they pay the fee and signatures, we could have an unlimited slate of green candidates for that, but that's only when a congressman dies.
Wow. And have you ever seen anything like that happen before, or is that just something you happen to know?
It, ha- it happens a lot in the Democrat and Republican primary. It happens a lot in the Democrat and Republican primaries. The way it works, in order for a candidate to appear on the ballot with a specific party, the political party or second nomination must already have ballot access, but with the special election for U.S. representative, on the other hand, party ballot access is not required. It's just candidate ballot access. So hypothetically, you can choose any label you want, but
okay. And what made you decide to go green?
Well, like many other green members across the U.S., like many green members across the U.S., I sort of got fed up with the major parties.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in Texas in particular, it's actually extremely difficult to tell politicians apart. Texas is predominantly conservative, and one of the interesting things about Texas is that both parties are conservative.
Oh, yeah.
We actually have most of the Democrats on the local level where I live, which is Tarrant County. Most of my elected Democrats are all conservative Democrats. It's a similar situation with some states. Level Democrats.
Yeah, and in many cases, they could be, you know, more conservative than Republicans in California or in the Northeast in some cases.
Yeah. And I mean, while it may be true that they look like they're working against each other, but they actually really agree on the wide range of policies.
Oh, sure.
Which, of course, turned me off. Many of the Green Party members in Texas left the Democrat Party because they felt that their progressive votes didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, I could have remained in the Democrat Party and go for a position like a precinct chair, but I don't think it would have made much more difference. It's actually been proven that the major parties can't be reformed.
No, that is absolutely true.
And like me and a few other million Americans or whatever, I've been backstabbed a few times. Truth be told or whatever, even when I was a Democrat or whatever, I didn't feel like I actually belonged there anyway. I started getting involved in politics around 2014. I was in high school, and the first race I ever voted in was in the governor's election.
All right.
And I originally did vote Democrat initially, but While I did identify as Democrat, I never formally got involved with them.
No.
But I have attended meetings of the college Democrats at my college once I got out of high school.
And how did that work out?
Well, for starters, I joined the Green Party around 2015, which is around the time I started college. I will say that my college Democrats or whatever at my camp, some of them were there. Most of the people who were in the college Democrats, some of them are actually much more nicer compared to actual party officials. Most of the people in these various student clubs are mostly youth.
Oh, yeah.
So they're much more nicer compared to the actual elected office holders within the actual Democrat Party. I'm currently a member at the Tarrant County College Student Government Association. I would really say that chair, and I'm in charge of the oversight of the student senate, which includes the student clubs such as the College Democrats. I've actually been trying to set up a Green Party chapter at my campus.
But it's been
difficult.
I was nearly
successful a few years ago. I had a sponsor and a faculty sponsor. I got the appropriate number of signatures, but the only issue was the eternal bylaws.
When I was in college, I established residency in the state where I was going, which was New York. And when registering the vote, they actually had a list of parties you could register as. And they had one for Green, so I checked that off because I think, all right, that'll, you know, show a presence, that will add numbers, that'll show that, yeah, this is a force, this is what exists. And sure enough, in elections, I'd vote for Greens as well, most of the time in elections there. But later on in life, like if I ever been registered in a major party, Democrat or Republican, it was strictly for primary reasons, primary election reasons, and living in, you know, closed primary states. So you mentioned Texas is open primary, and then you're involved in the Green Party. What's your take do you believe in open primaries, or do you think it should be closed? So I've heard mixed reactions about that from different people. Like I did an episode on open primaries, and I tried promoting it to all these different Facebook pages. There were a lot of green ones who were not happy with that. And then some who may have been. So what's your take on it?
Well, for starters, either method would have its own perks. For starters, some people tend to like the open primary system that we have in Texas because we, in that kind of system or whatever, voters are pretty much allowed to vote for whoever they want when they want. It actually helps improve democracy in a way. However, the only disadvantage that has, since Texas is an open primary, one of the dates of advantages of it. That I could think of is it's much more easier for infiltrators to take us over. You probably have heard about the situation regarding the Harris County Green Party, about the infiltrators there.
Yeah, because that was the pushback that I received when, you know, people, especially Greens that were in New York, when I tried to post that open primary episode on their page.
Yeah,
it was getting all kinds of negative feedback, because it's, you know, a lot about infiltration, as you're saying. And yeah, what's going to happen is, like, the Democrats will try to, you know, overwhelmingly put someone in there that we wouldn't want, and then put them on top of the ticket. That way, no matter who people vote for, people are going to vote their way, basically. And that's already a big enough problem in New York as it is. Because New York, they do have other well-known third parties, but they're not really, though. Like, they have the Conservative Party, which always runs, because in New York State, New Jersey's not like this where I live now, but I know in New York, someone could run in more than one party for same office. So, like, when Andrew Cuomo runs for governor, he's running as a Democrat, but he's also in the working families line and maybe one other party's line. And, you know, all the votes still go to him. But again, it's, you know, in the same with the Conservative Party, like, whoever is running on the Republican ticket also runs in their ticket. So it's like, yeah, people could vote for a major candidate without voting for that major party, but it still ends up going to the same person anyway. And once they win, you know, when you see Andrew Cuomo on TV, it doesn't say Andrew Cuomo parentheses D and then parentheses WP, it just says parentheses D. So, yeah, as messed up as that already is, you know, the concern among a lot of Greens there was it'll make that situation even worse.
Yeah, as far as, like, close primary goes, while it's true that close primaries does limit your options on the ballot, it does, because the Texas voters would be required to limit themselves to just one party rather than freely choosing what they want. It does help prevent infiltrators from taking over to some extent, but honestly, like, one can argue that close primaries would be consistent with the current Texas election law for starters. The way it works in Texas, you can vote for any party you want, providing you stick with that one party. Like, whenever I voted in the Green Convention this year, because I participated in the Green Convention, my affiliation lasts for a year.
Oh, okay.
In the close primary system, that the current law would fit suitably with the close primary system for starters, if you plan to becoming green, you would need to be green.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to...
And basically, in that sort of system, you can't switch parties, at least not easily anyhow.
Yeah.
For a time, Texas had a straight ticket voting for a time where on the ballot you can just select one party and all the candidates for that party would have been tested. A lot of people weren't too happy with that. We
Yeah.
Did away with that a few years ago, but that sort of voting method is more aligned with the closed primary system. But
wow.
Honestly, we're better off open primary.
Wow. So even in a general election, if someone wanted to vote down ticket, they could just press like one button for that and it would just like automatically go all the way down the ticket, and they wouldn't even have to like vote for each one and actually read the name in the office.
Well, the way it works, right, for the straight ticket voting, you can select like Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or Green, or whatever, all the candidates would be marked down. However, if you want to vote in a specific election, but there's no candidate running for it, you won't be able to vote for that seat unless there's a name on it, which a lot of people weren't happy with that.
Oh,
like,
no.
Whenever we didn't have a Green candidate on there, in a specific race, I occasionally sometimes vote Green or I sometimes vote Libertarian or Democrat, depending on the circumstances. But there were a lot of vacancies in the primaries, for example. Like, for example, if I wanted to vote in the governor's election, but we didn't have a candidate for lieutenant governor, I wouldn't be able to vote Green in the lieutenant governor's race because we don't have anyone running for that. But the Democrats and Republicans and Libertarians would.
Yeah, and I mean, it's bad enough already that, you know, without that, a lot of people just always do a straight ticket without putting any thought into it. And then having to have something where you could just press like a button that automatically does it. I mean, I think that promotes a lot of lazy thinking. So if they did away with that, I think that's a good thing. You know, people, even if they're going to, they should have to vote for each one, like see the office they're voting for in the name of the person they're doing it. You know, so it could be more of a conscious vote there. And yeah, and you know, other parties, they don't have someone running for every office. I know in 2020 in my state, the Greens is president and U.S. Senate, and that was it. You know, everything else, Democrat, Republican, maybe Libertarian or some other party, but that was it though. So, you know, when it came to other offices, what are you going to do? I mean, you could write in as well. I think that's probably what I did for all the other ones, but still, I mean, but that was another idea why, you know, I tend to lean toward liking the idea of open primaries. Because if you already know ahead of time that, all right, you know, the party I prefer is only going to have a candidate for president and U.S. Senate, but there's candidates running in a Republican or Democrat primary who I agree with that are running for these other offices, you know, like county commissioner or, you know, some U.S. House, you know, I'd like to have a say in that, because after all, those two primaries are publicly funded and publicly administered. And, you know, I'd like to have a say in that at least. So that way, when the general election comes, hey, if whoever I voted for in that wins, you know, I have someone who I want to, who I would gladly vote for all the way down the ticket, not just two offices. You know, so that was like, that was part of my reasoning for, you know, siding with the idea of open primaries, along with the fact that, you know, I'd rather not be on public record registered in a party that I typically don't like, you know, just because there's like maybe one or two candidates that I do like who are running in their primary.
I will say that the particular office I'm running for, Texas Reputation, is actually pretty. This is the only position that I'm aware of that has three executives. And normally, largely infinite, but in my case, there's like three.
Yeah.
If the Texas Railroad Commission wasn't staggered idealism, the Railroad Commission itself could easily become a multi-series.
Yeah,
like
because
it kind of like for example, since there's three commissioners, and suppose that they changed the law to where all three commissioner seats were up for election on the same day, you can easily see you can see all three can bring back all the candidates are running for different seats, so instead of voting in one person per select three people instead of one.
Yeah, and the good thing about it,
which is kind of like the way my the Tarrant County Regional Water District Board is elected. Normally, there's more than one water board member at for election in the same year, so instead of voting in one person per seat, you get to choose whoever.
Yes.
You get to mark down two or three people, and basically who ends up being in the top three and get elected to one of the seats regardless of what position on the board you're running for.
Yeah. I know
they didn't have the Railroad Commission doesn't have numbered seats.
Yeah. Because I've noticed that with like county commissioner where I live. I mean, there's like, I know my county, there's a total of seven commissioners, but every year there's an election and it'll be like two or three running for it. But the fact that it's a commission, you know, that has multiple people on it, and the fact that every year there's more than one person running for it, I think, running as a independent or third party, that'd be the way to go, because even if people are more likely to vote for a down ticket, you could still convince them, hey, you know what, you could still vote for whether it's Republican or Democrat like you do everything else, while also voting for an independent who you agree with more. You know, it's not a matter of oh no, I have to choose this lesser evil thing, you know, because you're still going to be able to vote for the so-called lesser evil party while still voting for another candidate who you agree with more. You know, so there's that, you know, more people are more likely to loosen up a bit with that. And also, well, there's an election every year, or in this case for Texas Railroad Commission every 2 years, where, you know what, you get to vote again next year or the year after anyway. So people would, you know, feel more comfortable, you know, going for who they agree with most rather than being forced, feeling like they have to choose a so-called lesser evil candidate. So I think it's a wise idea, like if you're going to run as an independent or a third party, to go for a position like Texas Railroad Commissioner or County Commissioner, one where, you know, it's a board, or like it's more, you know, more than one person holding that office, and one that sometimes has more than one person running at a time, or has an election every, you know, a staggered election every year, 2 years anyway. So people feel less of that unnecessary pressure and could actually feel more safe and confident voting their conscience.
Yeah. Prior to me running for Railroad Commission, I ran for elected office before at least four or five times previously, mostly for school board and city council, like on the Arlington ISD or whatever. At one time they were elected, it's a seven member board. One time they were elected for single member districts, but that was stand the way with, say, the, say my entire school board represents the whole cities rather than individual districts, each seat set for election once every 3 years. And I'm nice. Eligible to run for any of the seats on the Arlington ISD board, which I have ran on 2 occasions.
Oh, okay.
It's a somewhat similar situation with the Arlington City Council. There's, apart from, there are school member districts seats on the Arlington City Council, but there's at least 2 or 3 positions on the council that you can run for regardless of your district, like at large councilman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can always run for mayor or any of the at-large council seats. I ran for, like, district 7 and then 2020.
All right.
But that was somewhat imperceived. The elections would tell them maybe that time would move to November because of COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know anything in 2020 our primaries were moved up, if I'm remembering correctly, because of COVID. And yeah, that caused a whole other mess.
Yeah, officially it was nonpartisan, but...
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. So, is there anything else you'd like to plug? Any way that people could help your campaign that you'd like to get out there?
Well, for starters, like and our candidates, Alfred Morrison and Della Barbos, who's running for governor. The Green Party, too, has actually had a late start this time around.
Right.
Officially, I was like campaigning for like the local office at least a year before the designated filing period. At the time, we didn't really know who would be running for what.
Yeah.
And because of the filing fees and signature hurdles or whatever, we literally had the state party actually had to take drastic measures to ensure that at least one of us got on the ballot this year.
Wow.
The $3,750 filing fee took everything I had.
Ooh, yeah. Literally.
I would have collected signatures, but it was initially agreed by my state party's SEC that, well, in the interest of public safety, we decided not to do a petition drive this year, which, of course, made things difficult.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because when there's a pandemic, it's harder to go around door to door than and then approaching strangers to ask them to sign something that you're holding and all that. Yeah.
Like, here's another interesting thing I would like to bring up. Texas sort of has a outdated system that really hasn't changed in regards to ballot access. For starters, some states or whatever now allows digital signatures now, where you can sign a candidate's petition online. Had that been an option in Texas, it would have made things much more easy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. Well, Hunter, I want to wish you the best of luck. I hope everything goes well with the campaign. Hope the word spreads and hope people, you know, come to their senses about, you know, having multiple options, especially when it comes to like a commission that you're running for. That way they could mix it up a bit and get more voices on there. And also know that, you know, the next elections for that is in 2 years anyway. They could vote for whoever's running then. And yeah, definitely. So I want to thank you for being on the program. And once again, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Visit the Green Party's website at gp.org, and you can learn more about Hunter Crowe's campaign for Texas Railroad Commissioner, as well as finding a link to his campaign site. To hear more episodes of The Andrew Miller Show, future or previous, find The Andrew Miller Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other platforms such as Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and Overcast. You can also follow The Andrew Miller Show on Facebook. Remember, let's move forward together, and for now, peace out.